Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This morning's scripture reading before the lesson comes from John, chapter 14, verses 15, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. If you love me, keep my commandments. You may be seated.
Good morning. Such a pleasure to be here today. It's good to be home, if you will. As Paul mentioned, we were finishing up at MSLP. Our time is coming to a close. We have roughly 7 months left. We'll be done with school in January. And Lord willing, following graduation in January, we'll go overseas to do military ministry and do mission work, preach and teach for all of those in the service, as well as the local congregation there in Japan. And my family, we are eternally grateful to the West Huntsville family here. We're thankful for your love, your prayer, your support, and just all the support that you give us. We're so appreciative. If it weren't for you, none of this would be possible. And so on behalf of my family, we thank you so much. We love you all. And may God continue to bless the West Huntsville Church and all of her works, especially with upcoming VBS. We definitely pray for you all in that time that there may be fruit. Every single day in the world around you, there's technology that you use. And so there's computers, mobile devices, if you will, software, apps on your phone. All, you know, there's computers in your car, just about every single place you go, websites. All of these things, they operate on a precise set of rules, instructions. And these instructions, they're written by programmers, and it's written in programming languages, and those languages, they have a set of rules, specific guidelines, if you will, that govern how they must be written in order for them to operate. In computer science, those rules are often referred to as syntax. And so syntax is the structure or the set of rules that allow a computer to correctly understand and execute those instructions. And so as a programmer, if they were to miss a single semicolon, misplace a symbol or a bracket, the application, if you will, or that device may fail to properly run. One of the most common programming concepts is what's known as a conditional statement, which can be referred to as if-then logic. And so a condition must be met in order for the action to occur. If the condition is not met, then the action never happens. And so this concept, it's not foreign to anyone here. We've all engaged in this if-then logic, even without realizing it, like when you set the thermostat to 72 degrees on cool, or maybe 68, I don't know, it's kind of hot out there. And if the temperature in your home rises above 72, then the HVAC system will turn on. Parents and grandparents alike, you've also experienced this when you've told your children, only when you finish your homework, then you can play outside. Or if you eat all of your dinner, then you can have dessert. The beauty of a conditional statement is that it tells us exactly what is required to reach the desired result. And so we see this same if-then logic all throughout God's word. It's evident in the history of God's people. It isn't just for technology, computers, or whatnot. We see it in the way God gives instructions throughout scripture. And so today I want us to look at three biblical accounts that illustrate what we might call divine syntax, starting with the account of Naaman. Wash and be clean. Turning your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, here we follow along as we go through the account of Naaman. Naaman was the captain of the Syrian army. He was a powerful, respected man. Verse 1 says he was honorable, mighty man of valor, trusted by the king. However, despite all these accolades, the Bible states that he was a leper. And so in the ancient Near East, leprosy was a hopeless condition. There was no cure. However, there was an Israelite girl who was taken captive by raids that Syria had done. She says this in verse 3, 2 Kings 5, verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Knowing this, the king of Syria, he sends Naaman to Israel with gifts and a letter to give to the king of Israel. And so when he reads this letter, he's not happy. Jump down to verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." When Elisha had heard about this, that the king had tore his clothes, he sent for Naaman to come to him. Naaman then arrives at Elisha's house. He stands at the door, and verse 10 says, "And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" Here it is. This is our first example of divine syntax, the conditional statement, the if. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. The result, then your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. The condition, wash. The result, be clean. And so this is good news. Naaman was just given the path to cure his incurable disease. But did Naaman receive the news as such? Continue reading in verse 11. "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy.'" Naaman is angry. Not only that, Elisha didn't even come out of the house to greet him. Elisha sent his servant to tell Naaman these instructions. Notice in that verse, Naaman says, "I said to myself." Other translations enumerate this as, "I thought." He thought that there would be some extravagant miracle. Naaman thought that Elisha would come out to greet him, waving his hand. Continue reading in verse 12. "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman was presented with this conditional statement, but he was angry. Imagine for a moment we go to the doctor, and it's for a disease that we have, and the doctor gives us the prescription to cure that disease. But instead of taking the medicine, we become angry because we don't like the method that the doctor has prescribed to us. We cannot reject the prescription and still expect a cure. And so for Naaman's sake, luckily he had a wise servant with him who said in verse 13, "And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean.'" Continue to verse 14. "So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." As Christians today, don't try to do it your own way, like Naaman first wanted to do. He said, "I thought." Meaning he's trying to operate on his own wisdom and not the divine syntax. He was presented with instructions from Elisha, who was an oracle of God, bringing the wisdom from above. James chapter 3 highlights this contrast of wisdom that is from above versus wisdom of the earth. James 3:13 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Many people today want salvation without following God's instructions. They want the blessings from God while refusing the conditions he's already given us in his word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Naaman's conditional statement was to wash and be clean. Next, we'll take a look at John chapter 9, where the blind man was also told to wash. Turning your Bibles to John chapter 9, we just saw Naaman, a man of great power, who struggled with the simplicity of God's command. Next, we'll move to the far opposite side of the social ladder. And so, whether you're a somebody like Naaman, or, according to their society norms, a nobody like the beggar, the divine syntax remains the same. Obedience is the requirement to receive God's blessings. Wash and see. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Follow along as I read. John 9, 1 through 7. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The blind man was told to wash in the pool of Siloam. This was the conditional statement, the if. The result, him receiving his sight. He could not have received his sight by any other means than by following the commands of Jesus. Notice the blind man didn't stop to ask questions. He didn't argue. He did not delay, nor did he complain about the distance of the pool. He simply did what Jesus told him to do. Pilots, when they're flying airplanes, they operate on two primary conditions, VFR and IFR. VFR means visual flight rules. The pilot navigates by what he can physically see outside of the aircraft. And so if you're traveling around here, if you're heading from north to south, you could use the interstate I-65. You can visually see that. If you're traveling east to west or vice versa, you can follow the Tennessee River. You can see that from the aircraft. However, when the clouds roll in, visibility disappears, and the pilot can no longer trust what he can see outside his eyes alone. At that point, he transitions to IFR, which is instrument flight rules. And so instead of trusting what he can see outside, he must trust the instruments and the instructions that are given to him. Many pilots, they often lose control of the aircraft because they trusted what they felt versus what the instruments told them. Spiritually, many people try to live their life on visual rules. I'll do what feels good. I'll trust my instincts. I'll follow my heart. Like Naaman said, I thought. But the blind man in John 9, he could not walk by sight. He had to trust the voice of Jesus. He followed the divine syntax and he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Likewise, as Christians today, sometimes the difference between our current blindness and sight that we so desperately need is a simple act of obedience. We often pray to God to fix our problems, yet we continue to ignore the instructions he's already given us in his word. And so how much of our problems are self-inflicted? Because we refuse to follow God's divine instructions. Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Naaman had to wash to be cleansed. the blind man had to wash to receive his sight. Next, we'll come to another example of divine syntax in Numbers 21. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 21. Once again, God provides deliverance, but he attaches a condition to it. Here we have the Israelites are dying in the wilderness from fiery serpents. God gives them one simple instruction: look and live. Leading up to the events detailed in Numbers 21, Aaron had just died. The Israelites are on their way to the promised land. They're heading north, just south of Canaan, and Edom refused to let them pass through. This caused a detour. And because the journey became longer and harder, the people became discouraged, and they began complaining against God and against Moses. So follow along as I read Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against Moses, against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there was no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. People of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Because of the detour, they complained. The Israelites complained about God. They complained about Moses. They even complained about the manna God provided. They said, "Our soul loathes this worthless bread." It's interesting, at this point, it was roughly 40 years. They had experienced 40 years worth of miracles, yet they were still rebellious. God sent fiery serpents among the people that not only began to bite them, but many of them died. And so luckily they came to their senses and they were penitent. They asked Moses to intercede to God on their behalf. God tells Moses to make a fiery serpent, a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. And anyone who is bitten, when they look at the serpent on the pole, they will live. This is our if statement, our condition. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when they look at the bronze serpent, they will live. Israel got in trouble because of complaining, because of rebellion. Their problems were indeed self-inflicted. However, God, being the merciful and all-loving that he is, he still gave them a way to live. But they first had to follow the instructions. Imagine, some people might have thought that looking at the bronze serpent seemed foolish. But anyone who did not look died. In the same way today, God made a way and has provided salvation for all. But we must follow the divine syntax. John 3, 14 and 16. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We must believe in Jesus to have eternal life. Jesus says in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is the divine syntax. This is the condition. If you love God, the result, you will keep his commandments. And so the question is, where do we find his commandments? Only in God's word. How do we believe in Jesus to have eternal life? The tragedy is many people today are spiritually dying while refusing the very remedy God has already provided. Like Israel, the cure is available. Like Naaman, the instructions are simple. And like the blind man, the blessings only come through obedient faith. The question is, are we willing to follow it? And so if you were to ask the world, what must we do to be saved? Men will say, accept Jesus in your heart. Be sprinkled as a baby. Say the sinner's prayer. You are saved by belief alone. It may be that some here today have heard or maybe even believe that this is what it takes to have salvation in Jesus Christ. I implore you to search the Word of God because none of that is found in the Bible. But what does the Bible say? Listen to the words of Jesus. John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. John 8:24. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perished. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before him, before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.